They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And before I come to speak, Ilana's going to bring our second reading from Matthew.
The second reading is from Matthew 28, 18 to 20 on page 598 of your pew Bibles. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Well, good morning. How's your summers been? Or how have your summers been? That good? Excellent. Mine's been mostly good, spending a week in a field at the New Wine Festival in Somerset, and then having some time on the beach in Cornwall. It was wonderful to come back as well last Sunday for the baptisms of Pippa, Harriet and Saskia. That was a really good Sunday. I say my summer was mostly good because on Polzeath Beach a few weeks back, I was reading this book, should appear on screen, there we go, Richie Benaud's Blue Suede Shoes, which is the authors relive a compelling, gripping tale about a 1961 Ashes Test match that heralded the dawn, it says, of a new era from English cricket, but I'm not sure what that era was, more failure, I think. Anyway, as I was reading, unsolicited, on the beach, a guy says to me, "You're showing your age reading that." So astonished at having my peace sort of disturbed, I replied, perhaps a little too defensively, "I wasn't there." We then agreed that Richie was a great commentator. So other than being mistaken for someone in their mid-70s, I had a pretty good summer. Each generation of believers is given an opportunity to tell the story of Jesus through the local church. We get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. We get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display. And so, as has become our pattern, I'll be using this morning, the first Sunday of the autumn term, to just to outline our plans and priorities for this coming term, to remind us of the vision and the values that underpin our life together, all that underpins the worshipping life of St. Andrew's. First, though, I thought I'd just say a little bit something about something called the Quiet Revival. There's been a lot of talk about it through this year. Perhaps you've heard of it. Essentially, for decades, church attendance, nominal Christianity, has been declining. However, for the last 5 years or so, data now shows that this seems to have shifted and even reversed. A study by the Bible Society shows that over the space of only 6 years, there's been significant growth in the numbers of people going to church, in Christians becoming more intentional, in young people coming and finding faith, and in reading the Bible. And the Quiet Revival is being driven especially by Generation Z, those born in the sort of late 90s up until the early 2010s. And church attendance among this age group has risen from 4% to 16%. Even the media have taken note with the News Agents podcast with Emily Maitlis and John Sopel giving over a whole episode to explore this topic. And they spent a day with at the Wildfires Festival with Pete Gregg, interviewing him and speaking with him, as well as a number of young people who come to faith. So Generation Z is a generation that have been shaped by the recession of 2007 to 9, by increased security concerns following 9/11, as well as by the rise of smartphones and social media. They're a generation that are now questioning the secular worldview and script they were handed. Mark Sayers, a church leader in Australia and a sort of cultural commentator, has said, Western cultures seek the kingdom without the king. The cultural ambition of the West is to replicate the kingdom vision of the good life, a future world of human rights, dignity, freedom, love, and equality, but all without Jesus at the centre. And so the Bible Society report says that a new generation is finding hope in the Christian message and in established Christian communities. This hope is both personal and social. It appears to meet a hunger for connection, belonging, and purpose, but it also helps frame meaningful engagement in the world to address some of the intractable problems that we face, whether it's injustice, inequality, climate change, and to form an alternative to the individualistic, competitive, materialistic worldview that has come to dominate Western societies over recent decades. So why am I telling us this? Well, I'm telling us to encourage us all. As I've said, we're not here to manage church decline. And so without wanting to overreach what's going on, this does seem to be a particular moment of spiritual curiosity and openness as the secular narratives that people, and this generation in particular, as they fail to satisfy and deliver on their promises. Young people are looking for a bigger story with deeper meaning and for communities to belong to. This is a moment, so do be praying that we might, we've already seen some young people come, but that might just continue, that people would remain spiritually curious. And so having spent the last half a year thinking and exploring that bigger Sunday here, or bigger story here Sunday by Sunday, we're hopefully now better positioned to live in and out of that story, to find our place within it, and to then share it. And within that context, when I was away at the New Wine Festival, one of the speakers who works with students at universities had a word for those in their mid-50s to mid-60s, and it was this, that it is not a time to be retired, but rather refired. Not retired, but refired. Because, of course, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Whatever our age, God calls us, each one of us, to play our part. So if you're in that demographic of the mid-50s and up, how might you respond to that challenge this morning? How might God be calling you to sow especially into the lives of young people that we might see and that we already have within the church family? How might you respond to that call? And how perhaps might you think about retirement differently, knowing that God still has a deep, deep purpose for your life? And so with that being said, as we begin our autumn term together, the vision remains Jesus, always Jesus, only Jesus. At the heart of life and of our church's life, the call is always to have Jesus as our vision. He's our cornerstone, our fortress, our rock, our very life. And at St. Andrew's, as we seek to follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as individuals and as a whole church family, dependent on the Holy Spirit, we become the people and the community that God is calling us to be. If you've been at St. Andrew's over the last couple of years or so, you'll hopefully know by now that I'm passionate about spiritual formation. I'm passionate about who we are becoming as people. Spiritual formation is about taking our discipleship, our following of Jesus seriously, looking to be intentional about following Jesus. It's learning to cultivate and grow an inner life with God, learning to bring ourselves, our true selves, before a loving God. Masks off, defences down. Knowing ourselves loved and forgiven, and then living out of that place of intimacy. It's about increasingly bringing our whole lives, our time, our talents, and our treasure, and declaring God's sovereignty over it all. As well, spiritual formation acknowledges the truth that the world we live in, the culture we live in, is constantly shaping and forming us. It's recognizing that if we're not being formed by Christ, then we are being formed by someone or something else, especially the culture that we're living in and are part of. And so I'm far more interested in asking the question, who are we becoming, than I am in asking, what are we doing? Are we increasingly people of love who are daily living out of a place of intimacy with Jesus? Rich Velodus, an American pastor, asks three questions that seek to get to the core of our spiritual life. He asks, do you love God? Do you love your neighbours? Do you mind if I ask them? Do you love God? Do you love your neighbours? Do you mind if I ask them? And so in spiritual formation, we're invited to be with Jesus in order to become like Jesus, in order to do what Jesus did. I was so encouraged. I think it was in June time when over 40 people came along to the Practicing the Way course that we ran, just gaining that deeper sense of what intentionally following Jesus looks like. Because Jesus invites us to slow down and to live in and out of his presence. Being with Jesus is about discovering a deep, intimate communion with God, of building a life that abides in him. Partnering with the Holy Spirit, we cut away all that holds us back in order that we might become fully human, reflecting God's glory out into the world. And so what we're seeking to do here at St. Andrew's is to become people of godly integrity, where there is alignment between what we believe and then how we live. Where there is alignment between what we say and what we do. We're seeking to be a deep church where people encounter Jesus, where lives are transformed in his presence, a church where we are remade into the likeness of Jesus. The goal then isn't simply to proclaim good news, but to become good news people. The goal isn't just to be loving, but to become people of love. All of this is rooted in our discipleship, in our intentionality around following Jesus. It's relatively easy to label ourselves Christians, but then to go about our day-to-day life having nothing to do, without relating to God in any way. I've said it before, it's what a friend of mine calls hollow religion, which he describes as it's empty on the inside, focusing on the externals, on what things look like on the outside, on reputation and style. He describes it as being the difference between a love affair with God over a perfunctory, lifeless routine that isn't based on a living relationship with the living God. And so a core value for St. Andrew's, as long as I lead it, will be that whatever our starting point, whether of no faith or of sort of nominal faith, is to continually hold out that invitation that there is more. To be a church of disciples, to be a church who are intentionally following after Jesus and not merely to settle for being Christian. I recently heard what I thought was a great definition of a disciple, and the definition was that the bio of a disciple is someone who is before God daily, who is in community, and who is on mission. Someone who's before God daily, who's in community, and is on mission. Just take a moment with that definition. It's not without its challenge, is it? How does that sit with you? Are we people who set aside time to spend with Jesus daily? Are we in community, whether that's here week by week, or in a small group, or in a prayer triplet? Are we on mission? And by that I mean, are we people who are willing and able to take our faith public and out into our day-to-day? Out into the workplace or wherever we do life. If not, can I encourage you to just give some time to work out what that might look like for you as we take our discipleship seriously? Because it's my belief that the best witness we have as the church is not our programs and strategies, but rather our transformed lives. We are disciples of Jesus, looking to make disciples of Jesus. And so in seeking to be intentional in our discipleship, we'll flourish, becoming, as our psalm describes, like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Our leaves will never wither, and we will prosper in all we do. A distinctive people set apart for God's glory. Alongside looking to be intentional disciples of Jesus, we're also a church that is fundamentally rooted in the Acts 2 model of church, where gatherings and meetings centered around four things: teaching, a common life or fellowship, breaking of bread, what we call communion, and prayer. These have come to be known as the four marks of the church, and they're vital to the health of any church expression. You can't separate them or leave one out without damaging the whole thing. So without clear teaching, without lifelong learning, we quickly revert to the views and the worldview of the surrounding culture. Without having a shared common life or fellowship, we'll become isolated, finding it harder to sustain at living faith. Where we no longer regularly share in breaking of bread, we're failing to raise the flag which says Jesus is death and resurrection are the centre of everything. And whenever we stop praying, we are forgetting that we are, as Tom Wright says, heaven and earth people, people who stand in the gap between heaven and earth, praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so as we gather together, Sunday by Sunday, as the family of St. Andrew's, drawing on these four marks, we'll be drawing on the patterns of worship that we see laid down by the very earliest followers of Jesus. We get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display. Another core value for us at St. Andrew's is pursuing God in our sung worship. It's why I've looked to have a kind of blocks of sung worship, two or three songs together, as a core component of our worshiping life. Because it's my belief and experience that God shows up in power and intimacy when we worship. The goal of our worship is not just to sing songs about God or to God, but rather to engage with God. Worship is both encounter and adoration. Our part, our role, is to come with the expectation that God will move in our gatherings, healing, speaking, transforming lives, if we come prepared and expectant to meet with him. We are active participants, not just an audience. Our approach to worship should be more like taking the stairs than it is taking the lift. Even if you need to use the lift here, that's fine. Our worship is active rather than passive. And then thirdly, as we read in our second passage, or as we read in our second passage this morning, all authority now lies with Jesus, and he commands us to make disciples. The task of the church is what it has always been. We are to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are disciples looking to make disciples of Jesus. And this is the task of all of us who call ourselves disciples, of all of us who are looking to follow Jesus. It's not only for some or for a sort of holy elite, but for each one of us to respond to that command. As a church, then, our vision, our priorities for the next season are to look to provide everyone, through all that we do, with opportunities to get to know Jesus and to become more like him. Secondly, we're passionate about helping children, families and young people connect with Jesus from a young age in order that they grow into a lifelong following of Jesus. And when I say that we're passionate about helping children and families and young people, it's not that we're going to ignore other demographics. There is plenty already going on and that is aimed at other age groups, other ways of connecting in with the life of St. Andrew's, whether it's through our warm welcome, our coffee and chat mornings, sacred songs, seniors ministry, all of that stuff. But we are, though, looking to invest and grow our work with children, families and youth. Finally, we remain focused on looking to be a blessing to the community where we are rooted, here in Goldsworth Park, this community whom we serve. And we look to do that reliably, to be reliably and missionally present throughout the week, using this building to provide a space of welcome, of refuge, of support and relationship. Just a few things as I draw to a close. Years ago now, my training incumbent, so someone who sort of oversaw my first years of ordained ministry, I passed, they gave me a book called Sacred Cows Make Great Barbecues. or he rather gave me that book. And as we've made decisions around Andy's cafe, it's felt at times that we've clearly uncovered a sacred cow. Sacred cow being something whose existence can't be challenged or questioned. And so you might remember that in March this year, following Amanda's decision to retire, PCC decided not to replace her role and instead to look to run a slimmed-down cafe model run entirely with volunteers. And as I've said throughout this, there is much that we can celebrate about Andy's, how it served the community of Goldsworth Park over the last several years. And I'm ever so grateful to all those who volunteered and served and enabled that to happen. For much of St Andrew's life, I believe there's been some expression of cafe or meeting place running in the downstairs space. But St Andrew's exists to love God with all our heart and to reflect God's heart to Goldsworth Park and beyond. We are disciples looking to make disciples. And so in intentionally choosing to run a slimmed down cafe, we're looking to just take a moment, to take a step back, to check in with God, to listen for God's vision, for God's voice at this time as to how we best use this downstairs space for mission in this moment. So rather than start by asking what sort of cafe should we run, we're wanting to ask if the purpose of St Andrew's is to make disciples, how is God speaking to us in this moment? What is he saying to us in this moment about the best ways to make discipleship making our reality? And especially in the use of our downstairs space. Now, it may be that at the end of this discernment process, we double down and yes, we think God is continuing to call us to run a cafe ministry. But it may be that he's calling us to try something different. And my role, our role, the key to this all is to be open to God's leading, open to God's plan, and then obedient to what he asks of us. So do please be praying as we look to answer two questions. What vision has God given St Andrew's for Goldsworth Park? And how can we best use the downstairs space to serve the community of Goldsworth Park in ways which invite them into a life of space? I'm passionate about seeing St Andrew's open, being a hub of community and welcome, of refuge, support, relationship. I'm excited to see what will bubble up in the coming weeks and months. If you are passionate about seeing those things too, and you're free in the week on Wednesdays and Thursdays, do speak to Patrick or I, because the cafe does need more volunteers to run smoothly, whether it's help setting up before it opens, whether it's helping volunteering behind the counter, or being intentionally present and available for conversation and care. This model that we're running through that started last week is looking to take the intentional relationship building that we've seen on a Tuesday in our warm welcome and in our coffee and chat times into a Wednesday and into a Thursday. So I'm excited for all that's going to come as we seek God's heart downstairs and for our time there. As well, if you were here in December 2022, you might remember that our boiler broke. Who can forget Bishop Jo presiding at communion in her parka? Since then, we have been working on a heating solution for the church. And so our green transformation heating project, which looks to reduce the effects of climate change by reducing our carbon emissions, has been slowly but surely making progress and will soon be starting work on the A2. The next phase of this project will be to replace our old and unreliable gas boiler to achieve net zero. So this isn't going to be possible without outside grant funding. Recently, we've gained support from the Aviva Community Fund. You may have seen my email that came out at the beginning of the summer. But the Aviva Community Fund will match fund any donations made over a six-week period from the 22nd of September through to the end of October, up to £250 per person. There'll be more details coming shortly, but I just wanted to say, if you're able to respond at all through that window, that giving window, we'd love you to be able to do that. And so as I finish, we are seeking to be a deep church where people encounter Jesus, where lives are transformed in his presence, a church where we are remade into the likeness of Jesus. we are also a church that is fundamentally rooted in the Acts 2 model, focused around teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And with that in mind, through the autumn term, through to around the beginning of December, we're going to be looking at Paul's letter to the Romans together. Drawing on Andrew Ollerton's book, we'll be looking to discover how Paul's longest letter unlocks the whole story of Scripture and the beauty of the gospel and will help us make sense of life. It's almost like our earlier sermon series, but turned around, looking at one book to see the whole of Scripture. Each generation of believers is given an opportunity to tell the story of Jesus through the local church. We get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display. We are here to tell the story of Jesus through this local parish church. We get to put, you and me, get to put the brilliance of Jesus on display. Let's be quiet.